If you would tonight, turn your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 1. You know you're in a good Pentecostal service when you're getting up to preach and you almost aren't quite ready yet. You want to keep singing, you want to keep worshiping, amen. That's how I feel tonight. I'm thankful for the presence of the Lord that's in this place, amen. And I could sing all night. Well, I could try to sing all night. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build up and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of the almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, Out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, an iron pillar, and a brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord." Amen. You may be seated tonight. I apologize for such a lengthy text and to keep you standing, but shortly I will let you know why I've done it. Amen. But first, I would like to tell you the title of this message will be, What Do You See? What do you see? Amen. You see, vision is such a complex word, and very oftentimes we think of it as just as what we can see out of our own eyes. But if you look up the many, many definitions of vision, you will find that there are many of them. One is simply what you can see. Another is a noun for what you have seen. Another is what you haven't seen but wish you could. Amen. So vision is a very complex word, but we often define vision simply as a view into the future. You see, if we've seen something, we just say, I've seen that. We don't often say we've envisioned that, unless it's something a little more complex, something a little bit more beautiful, maybe something from the future. So when we use words like vision, it usually pertains to the future. We have a vision of a new building, a vision of a bigger church, a vision of a loved one saved or a financial blessing. They're usually something great when we use the words like vision instead of just seen, saw, see, those different words. And I, for one, view myself as a visionary. I'm always looking to the future, almost to a fault oftentimes, if you ask my wife. And the reason for that is I'm always trying to schedule my life out in advance. There's always some hidden agenda that I don't even know about that I have to make sure I'm on plan with. But I like to vision everything out. And the problem with that is I hate waiting for those visions to take place. And the recipe for that is a mix of a few things. The first one is perfectionism. I like the next thing that I do. If I made $100 today, I'm going to make $105 tomorrow. That's just the way I am. I have to have everything just so. If I stutter too much tonight when I listen to the podcast, I will practice saying words I stuttered over. And to most of you guys, you're like, you are nuts. And you're right, I am, but that's just a part of my makeup. And the next part of that would be ambition. If I've done it, I don't want to do it again. I want to move on to the next thing. I want to master it. It's something new that I can work on. And lastly and simply, I'm just nosy. I like knowing what my future is going to hold. I want to know before it happens. And so I begin to plan things before I've ever seen them, before I've ever been there. I've already made up in my mind what it's going to be like. We can go a step farther and we can talk about God's vision tonight, though, and that's what I'm going to lay out for you very quickly. You see, we can look through our Bibles cover to cover and read of the countless miracles performed at the hands of God, and we know that He has all power. And from the beginning of time, He has had a vision or a plan for this world and for your life. Amen. He put us and everything on this earth to bring Him glory. It was perfect. It was beautiful when He made it until sin happened. When sin entered the garden and Genesis, the plan that God had to have been changed in some way. I mean, it was not designed for sin to take place, but it did. There now had to be a payment for that sin, for His plan to be kept intact, for everything that is done to bring glory to God. There now had to be a payment, I mean, to wash out that sin. Jesus Christ came into this world to save us from ourselves. He envisioned a world who could bring Him glory. And He was willing to die to make that happen. He came and He performed many miracles, but the most important miracle of all was defeating the sin and redeeming His church with the vision of worshiping Him and spreading His gospel. Amen. After His death and resurrection, He appeared unto His disciples, as it says in Matthew, and gave them instructions. Very simply, go, is what it says. Go, show them what I've shown you. Go tell them what I've told you. Go, spread the gospel. Everything I've done, I want you to go tell everyone about it. Amen. Throughout the Bible, from the creation through the life of Christ, we can gather that the vision of Christ was the world to bring glory to His name. Amen. Everything that has been done, everything that will be done, it is in accordance with that plan throughout the Bible. The church being His bride, what do you think our vision should be? Amen. It's very simple, or very simply just to adapt to God's vision. Amen. To save this world, to spread the gospel that He has shared with us. That is our job. That should be our vision as a church. Amen. But let me use the words of God from Jeremiah chapter 1. It says, what do you see simply is what He said. What seest thou is what He says. And I ask that question to you tonight, church. You know, God loves you. And He's made you just like Jeremiah. He's giving you all authority, all of power over all sin, over all of those things. God has given you the authority. And so tonight I ask you very simply, what do you see? What's the vision in your eyes? Not just physically, what do you see, but what is in your heart tonight? Amen. Do you feel as if God is calling you in one direction or another? Do you feel as if God has placed something on your heart for the future of this church? What do you see in the future? We see Him ask Jeremiah what he sees, even though He gave him the vision he is asking for. He asked Jeremiah, what do you see? And Jeremiah said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Why do you think he saw that? Do you think he was just randomly thinking of an almond tree? God gave him that vision as a test to see if Jeremiah was willing, amen, to do what God was about to ask him to do, if he could see what God had in store for him. We know what vision God has for this church, but are you envisioning it? Amen. Do we see God's vision? Are we striving to fulfill that vision? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Amen. Our duty as people is to bring glory to God, and our duty as a church is to forever be reaching the lost. Amen. That is our duty. That should be our vision as a church. Now, if we truly want the vision that God has for us to be true, we cannot let God's favor or God's plan pass us by. Amen. We sang about it tonight. Luke chapter 19 tells us that if we are stagnant, if we are not praising, amen, that the rocks will cry out. The rocks will praise. Someone is going to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Whether it's you, someone else, or a rock, it will be done. Amen. And we cannot allow that to happen. As the bride of Christ, it should be our duty. It should be our pleasure. Amen. To worship the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Simply put, if you want the favor of God, if you want your loved ones saved, if you want a financial blessing, if you want to see this church grow, we must forever be working to fulfill God's vision of salvation for all and glorifying His name. That's what it really comes down to tonight, is glorifying His name. Amen. Oftentimes we find ourselves just sitting there spinning our wheels, looking around, wondering why we aren't moving. Both in a personal sense and a church sense, throughout, we sit here and we just spin and we're looking around like, my car just won't move. And then we look down and our foot is still on the brake. It's amazing how when you let go, your car begins to move. Amen. But so oftentimes we don't know what's behind us. So what do? We keep our foot on that brake the entire time. And we just kind of sit there until we feel perfectly comfortable allowing whatever's going to happen to happen. We want people to come to this church and we want God's favor in our lives and we want the blessings of God. We want the fruit, but we're not completely committed to planting the fruit tree. Now I want you to think about that. Does everybody understand that there is no fruit without the fruit trees? Amen. Somebody's got to plant those trees. Someone's got to work that ground. Someone's got to be willing to go to the places that nobody else will. Amen. To get that fruit. Don't misunderstand me tonight. We have a great church. We have hard workers in this church, and I'm not here to discredit any work that goes on in this church or any work that anyone does for the Lord. But if we want to raise expectations, we have to have a raised level of commitment. When I think of a vision's fulfilled, when I think about what it takes to make a vision come to pass, I really break it down into two parts in my mind, and there has to be an equal level of opportunity and commitment, is how I break that down. Opportunity and commitment. You see, for anything to happen, it has to have the potential to happen. Scientifically, in church, it doesn't really matter. If something's going to happen, there has to be some sort of opportunity for it to take place. Amen. But you'll find that in a spiritual sense and in a church sense, more often than not, if an opportunity is to be put in motion, if there is something that is going to happen, there has to be a commitment from someone that is willing to make that opportunity come about. Amen. And so when I break that down, if you look back at Jeremiah chapter 1, you will see that God has approached Jeremiah with the calling God has for his life. He didn't just wake him up for nothing, but he came with a purpose for Jeremiah. We can see that God isn't really asking. He's telling. The only question he asks is, what do you see? He didn't ask you if you want to go. He didn't ask you if you want to be a prophet. He just asked you what you saw. Even though he knew all along what you were seeing because he planted it there. Amen. God wasn't asking. He is telling. He's giving Jeremiah's opportunity to him, whether he likes it or not. Amen. But can I tell you tonight that Jeremiah was ready to receive it? Because if he wasn't, God wouldn't have put it there. Amen. God himself will not send you an opportunity unless he wants you to be working it. I look around everywhere, not in this church, but just across the board. I look around and I see people that are moping because the right opportunity hasn't come along. I see people that don't have jobs because it's not a $100,000 a year job. I'm sorry, that doesn't make any sense. $5 in one hand is better than $0 in the other, any way you cut it. Amen. But I see people, I want to sing, I want to preach, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want a better job, I want to live my life for God. Amen. But they refuse to pick up a broom. They refuse to teach a Sunday school class. They say I'm called. They say I want to be used. I'm ready for my opportunity for something next. But when that opportunity smacks them across the face, they look at it and tell it no. Amen. Can I tell you tonight that that is not the will of God? Amen. We are to grab the opportunities that God has put in front of us, big or small. Right. Amen. And begin to work on his kingdom. Right. Jeremiah wasn't called to answer questions about an almond tree. He wasn't called to play memory match with God. That's not what that conversation was about. But God had to find out just how committed Jeremiah was. Amen. Before he could give him something better. Amen. We can't look at the small things. We can't look at the people we don't want to invite to church. We can't look at the things around the church we don't want to do and expect them to be done anyway. Amen. God didn't call Jeremiah to do the big things without testing him first. Amen. Does anybody understand me tonight? We have to be willing to get down and dirty. We have to be able to go into the trenches where no one else is willing to go. We have to be able to go out on the rainy days and plant those fruit trees, knowing that one day fruit will come from them. Amen. Stop waiting for the burning bush of your life. Stop waiting for the stars to align. Can I tell you that it might not ever happen for you? If you're waiting for God just to just right in front of you, talk to you out of a bush like he did Moses, I don't know that it's going to happen. And so to wait for those things instead of just taking what God has given you and working it and growing in it and building up the kingdom of God is not going to get you very far. Amen. Can I tell you that when we begin to invest in the vision that God has and we begin to make that vision our own, I promise you, you won't have to wait for opportunity. God will give it to you. Just like he did Jeremiah. Like I said, Jeremiah wasn't just sitting around aimlessly, amen, doing nothing for God and expecting God just to bless him. God chose him for a reason, as he does everyone. Amen. Understand tonight that I'm not just talking about the opportunity. I'm simply talking about opportunity in general. Amen. Just in Smyrna alone, we have roughly 5,000 opportunities within 5 miles of here. Amen. Don't you tell me that you can't do something for God tonight. Don't you tell me that there's no one out there that hasn't been reached yet. Amen. We are living in a world that is full of people who do not understand and do not understand the vision that God has put in us. Amen. God has called us to take those opportunities, and if you will commit at the same level as that opportunity, amen, God will have his will in that. That can become a vision. That vision can come true. Amen. I believe that if some people were willing to commit to the opportunity that Jesus Christ has given this church, amen, just this church already, we could have a revival like never before. Yes. Amen. And that goes so much more than just growth tonight. Amen. That goes in your own spiritual life. Amen. We say that we are the light of the world, do we not? We say that we are a city set upon a hill. What kind of light are we putting off if we can't even revive ourselves? If we can't even work on ourselves, if we can't even take the opportunity that God gives us and build on them? Amen. How do we ever expect those people who are seeing our light to come about? Amen. It doesn't work like that. We have to be willing to go after the vision that Jesus Christ has given us. Amen. God was telling Jeremiah, can you see what I'm showing you? Can you see the small visions I placed in your mind right now? And when he said yes and let God know he was committed to God, it was great. It was beautiful. It was something that God could work with. God told him, you know, listen here, young man, I'm going to give you more power than the kings, is what he said. I'm going to give you more power than anyone else. I'm going to put you in charge of everything. Go tell them what I say and fear not. Amen. Because I go with you. Amen. God has some opportunities that can blow our minds, but we have to show him we are seeing what he is seeing. That we are sold out and that our minds are made up to serve the Lord before those can ever come to pass. Amen. I firmly believe there's a reason why some people are tremendously blessed and some are not. And that does not mean that you do not live for God if you're having a hard time. That simply means that there are reasons as to which God blesses us at certain times of our life. Amen. And I simply ask you tonight, if you find yourself going through a hard time, evaluate your situation. Evaluate the vision you have for your own life. Look at the vision God has given you for your life, and you tell me if they match up. If they have not, we have found the problem. Amen. The next thing we would talk about is the commitment side of this vision. In Jeremiah chapter 1, we have looked at the opportunity God has presented Jeremiah. Jeremiah simply said, God paraphrased, I've chosen you to do my work. If you buy into what I tell you, I want you to be a great prophet. People are going to listen to you. People are going to follow you if you will simply buy into what I'm telling you, Jeremiah. Now, I'm sorry, but most of us, if God said that to us, we'd be like, God, I think you're looking for the guy next door. Because I'm not going to any king. I'm not going to any foreign country, and I'm not going to tell them this. Amen. Not because we're not willing, or not because we're not able, but because we're not willing and we don't completely understand and comprehend, amen, the calling that God has given Jeremiah here. But Jeremiah had the right mind, and he knew he was in the presence of Almighty God. He knew the task at hand would be trying. He knew he probably wasn't equipped but he was prepared to go anyway. That is commitment. I mean, can I tell you tonight that there's going to be times God is going to call you into some areas that you are not prepared to go into. You are not equipped to deal with them. Amen. But God is going to send you anyway, and what you do with that calling decides whether you've committed to God or whether you've just listened to God. You see, the act of listening without commitment, without putting the action in to make it so, is nothing. It is not. Amen. Just to hear me preach tonight means absolutely nothing. It's what you do with what I preach tonight that will dictate how you are used by God. Amen. You see, anyone could say anything, but most are willing to work on anything. We have a hard-working church, but I want to be the kind of church that sees what God needs done and does it not for the glory, not to show we came, but to completely commit to what God has in store. Amen. Everything is about commitment tonight. Can I tell you that God isn't looking for Superman? I think sometimes we feel, as we look at the Bible and we see Peter's and Paul's and Jeremiah's and Isaiah's and we see all these people and we seem to feel as if we are not good enough. We are not able to do the things that they did because we were not called by God. We were not a prophet of God. Amen. But can I tell you tonight that God is not looking for Superman. He's simply looking for a Superman who is willing to listen to the supernatural that God is about to put in his life. Amen. That's where we find Jeremiah today. He is not some super prophet until God ordains him to be so. Amen. You don't have to be something extraordinary. You don't have to be the mayor, the president, the vice president. You don't have to be anything. All you have to be is willing and committed to the will of God. Amen. And God can use you for something great. Amen. Maybe my favorite verse in the Bible is 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Amen. You see, when we are presented with an opportunity and we are committed to fulfilling it, it isn't just a task. It isn't just a job tonight. It's a calling. And when we answer it steadfastly and with a pure spirit, it is not in vain. Amen. But it is giving glory to God, which is supposed to be our vision. Amen. How many of us can think of one thing in our lives right now that we haven't fulfilled that we could and it would bring glory to God? Amen. I can think of several things in my life that I have not done that if I would have done them, could have brought glory to God. Amen. I don't want to let another one of those opportunities go by knowing that the work that I do for the Lord does not go in vain. Amen. But it is a sacrifice and it is acknowledged and a blessing to God. Amen. It should be our pleasure to do those things for the Lord tonight. And so I ask you again, what do you see tonight? Do you see the vision of God? Do you share that vision? Do you share that vision for yourself? Do you share that vision for this church? I mean, does anyone want to see us grow spiritually in number? I mean, growth is something that's so vital to us. I mean, if we're not reaching, we have not done our jobs. Maybe we are not committed. Amen. God is looking for those who are willing to commit to do anything and everything he calls them to do. Amen. If we reread 1 Corinthians 15, 58, you'll see that when we are abounding in the work of who? God. That will bring glory to who? God. Which is supposed to be the very vision that our entire life is supposed to revolve around. We cannot expect to live a life not for God. Not to do the work of the Lord and expect a fulfilling godly result. We have to be looking through the right eyes if we want to see God's plan. Amen. I got some glasses right here. I believe these are yours, are they not? We need to have special prayer right now. With these glasses on, I see all 437 of you and you look beautiful. And I'm going to take those off before I get a headache. Amen. But can I tell you tonight that if you're looking through the wrong eyes, if you're looking through the wrong eyes tonight, you're not going to find that vision of God that you so desperately want. Amen. You're not going to find that fulfilling feeling you're looking for. Amen. If you're sitting here looking through the wrong eyes tonight. Amen. I pray that you check your spirit tonight, not just tonight, but every night. Amen. Where are you living in your relationship with God? And that is not to question if anyone is a Christian or anything like that, but that is a daily reminder to you. Amen. That the devil is still a lion looking for whom he may devour. Amen. And as long as there is sin in this world, there is still a battle to be fought. Amen. Somebody's got to fight that. And if you fight it with these, amen, you're not going to get very far. Amen. Through these, the vision of God becomes very blurry. Through these, I can't see much of anything or anything I need to be seeing. Amen. We are to forever be looking through the vision that God has put inside of us. Amen. We are to always be looking for something bigger, something greater that we can do for the work of the Lord. Amen. Can you imagine if David, King David, little David, would have looked through Saul's eyes at the time? Everyone else had told him that it couldn't be done. We're not going out there. We're scared. Take my armor, David. Can you imagine if David would say, well, yeah, you're right. You're a big guy. I'm a little guy. So I guess I'll just take your word for it. Can you imagine if Moses would have bought into the vision that the Pharaoh had so many years ago before he ever left Egypt? Can you imagine all the people that would have stayed in Egypt if Moses wouldn't have left when he did? Amen. Understand tonight that you have to be looking through the vision that God has given you. You have to have a godly vision tonight, amen, to bless the Lord and to fulfill the visions that we want done. Amen. If our music would come, I'll be closing shortly. Can I tell you tonight that if you're reading your Bible, if you're reading this book right here, and you have a healthy prayer life with God, if you are truly living your life for God, then you will share His vision. If you are right with God, His vision for salvation for all and to glorify Him will be present in your life. So again tonight, I ask you simply, what do you see? And then what is coming through those eyes of yours? Do you see the vision that God has put inside of your life, just like Jeremiah? Are you willing to look at the small stuff first and understand that God has something bigger? God has something greater for you. Amen. If you are willing to start small and do whatever it is He asks of you. Amen. I'll ask you to stand with me tonight. When you look at Jeremiah chapter 1, this is at the very beginning of Jeremiah's ministry. This is when God first called Jeremiah. God approaches Jeremiah and simply says, Jeremiah, what do you see? Knowing that God had already given Jeremiah the vision to see what God wanted him to see. I mean, understand tonight that the talent it takes to open up your eyes and see something is worth no more than the person sitting next to you. Amen. But to open up your heart and see what God is seeing is something that cannot be replaced. Amen. When we look at Jeremiah and we look at his willingness to do whatever God told him to do, knowing that he was going before kingdoms, he was going to faraway lands, he was going to tell people something they did not want to hear. And God sent him anyway, saying, I'll go with you. Don't worry about it. I'll go with you. I've got this all taken care of. I just need someone to say it. Oh, I wish somebody would tap into that tonight. I mean, it's not about what you say. It's about what you listen to. And then when you become a willing vessel for the word of the Lord, great things can happen. Amen. It's amazing how many people get reached just by living correctly, just by living for God. Amen. I want this to be a church that is forever, forever investing in God's kingdom. Forever reaching for people who can't help themselves, just like God did for us so many years ago. Amen. Tonight I'm going to ask you if you would. Usually I don't ask you to respond in any certain way, but I'm going to ask you to come to this altar tonight. And when you come, I want you to pray that God restores a vision in you. I want you to pray that God pours out vision on this church. Amen. Not just eyesight, not just what we can see tonight, but I pray that God pours out something miraculous in this place tonight. Amen. I look around and I see people who need a financial blessing from the Lord. I look around and I see lost loved ones that should be sitting right next to you that are not. Amen. I look around and I'm thankful for who's here, but we are not full tonight. I look around and this is a beautiful building, but we want a bigger one. I mean, there's things that we could be working towards. There's things that need to make some commitment tonight. And that starts at a personal level with you. And so if you would tonight, I'm going to ask you to come. And I'm going to ask you to pray for that vision, whatever it may be. I'm going to ask you to commit to what God has given us. Amen. And when you've done that, I want you to find somebody else and I want you to pray with them. Amen. This is not just something that can just come and go. This is not something that's not important. This is something that God wants. God has given us these visions. Amen. Would you come tonight?